Lecture 3 in London. Here we are on a beautiful Saturday morning, thinking about what it is that we can do to make our life more wonderful and more positive and more dynamic than we've ever had it before. And we say to ourselves, well, everything's going along pretty good. I'm pretty happy. And then we get a little difficulty that comes along. We get a stub toe, or we get something that knocks us off the ballpark and makes us feel that life's not doing the right thing. And what are we going to do? How are we going to handle that? Well, there's an issue within us. There's a knowingness within us that says everything can be right. Everything can be beautiful. It's just a matter of what are we going to do about it? How can we handle it? And we say, we talked about the stem cells, and we talked about how they are that 10,000 stem cells in our brain just waiting to go to work for us if we call them into motion. But what do these stem cells work through? How do they function in our body? How do they slide around and go into all the organs, actions, and functions of our body and making them perfect? Well, they do it through the use of a very strange and a wonderful thing that we have not learned how to handle. We haven't learned how to put our finger on it, but it's called energy. And energy is the activity that goes on within the atoms. And every atom at all times is having energy go on within it in an absolutely magnificent way. And this energy that's going on, it's just floating around, just moving. It's undirected energy. Energy that is there, but we haven't put it to work. Now, a lot of people, they have physical problems or mental problems or they have social problems, and right away they want to blame everybody else for the problems. They want to say it's their environment, it's their genes and chromosomes, and it's the hormones that are getting after them and things like that. But it's not. What it is merely misdirected energy. As we were driving here this morning, Christy said, how do you use the exercise with your legs to balance your energy? She said, would that be good for Imube also? And he's 5 years old. And I said, it'd be the best thing in the world. If he starts out at the age of 5 by using this little simple exercise, he will have balance throughout his entire life. He will have controlled balance, not just balance that comes because he's a little boy or because he's a child, but it's because he's starting to control it. And as we get older, if we will continue using that exercise in a very knowing way, we will have control of our energy. Now, Chrissy was saying, what do you think about sending him to a karate class where he learns exercises of that nature? And I said, well, there are many types of karate classes. Some are very martial art, very angry karate classes where they want to kill everybody, and the others are where they're using the energy fields of the universe in a directed, positive way. And that's more of a spiritual aspect. Well, to find a teacher for something like that is not always easy, but it can be done if you want to. So do the research. You could do it on the internet. You can learn a lot of things. Now, what is this exercise that Christy was talking about? Well, we have one of the girls on campus. She's 84. And being 84, she sometimes doesn't have the perfect balance she'd like to have. And so she would use a walker or a cane or what have you, but she doesn't want to use that. She wants to be on her own. So she waddles like a duck. And I say, don't do that. When you waddle like a duck, you're giving yourself the information that you're insecure, that you're incapable of doing things. I said, begin to train yourself with a balanced harmony within your body, with a balanced energy within your body, and when you do that, then you will feel capable of doing anything. So I said to her, come here. And his waddled duck waddled over to me, and I took her in my arms, and I danced with her, and flung her around, and she danced just like an angel, did everything just beautiful. Why did she do that? because her energy fields were being, thank you, being directed by me. They weren't being directed by herself, where she said, I can't do it, I gotta be careful, I fall down and break a leg or something, you know. She's worried about that, but she was having her energy fields directed by me, and she felt that security. I wasn't holding on to her. I was taking her out and doing it, flinging her out and everything. She was on her own, but she felt their energy fields balanced. So I told her, every time you get up from a sitting position, you raise your knee to the level of your tummy, and then with movement, you move your foot back and forth 1 to 10 times, and then you lift the other leg and do the same thing 1 to 10 times, and within a week, you should have such a clear balance in your mind and your body that all of your energy is structured to go where you want it to go. You're not worrying about feeling bad, you're not worrying about your energy not being in its proper harmony. And so the other girls, the other monks at the monastery, they said, should we do it too? I said, no. I said, you shouldn't do it unless you want to have your balance, your energy harmoniously in balance. Well, it seems like it'd be a good idea to have our energy harmoniously in balance. Yes, it would. But if you think it's only for this older person, then it won't help you, because you're not going to just be free with it as you move your foot back and forth purposefully 1 to 10 times in a very easy arc without anything. When you guys try it, when you I'm sure you will try it. When you try it, you're going to find, hey, that's interesting. I never thought that that would work in just that way. But that's the way it works. That's the way it works. People have taught this, and people have suggested this as something that might be functional. Thank you, Eva Bay. I have one of that drink of water. So, and they have tried it. And chiropractors or chiropractors and all these people who work with the bones in the body recommend this as a possibility. But the big thing is, we feel that we're so superior, we don't need it. We feel that we're getting along just fine, and we don't need it. When I was watching Ugo as he was preparing for his studies at school, and he was doing his weight exercises, every day he did a little bit. Every day he did it continuously. Every day, every day. And in no time at all, he had built himself up from being a normal human being into being an extraordinary human being. All because he consistently put that practice in motion. He consistently did what he felt he wanted to do and exercised the muscles he wanted to exercise. Well, now, if Ugo, whenever time he stands up, take his leg and move it back and forth, people say, you're silly. And you say, oh, not as silly as you think, you know. I have Mandrake, I have the great Merlin, the great magician, teaching me his tricks, and this is one of them. Because when I'm done with this, I will be able to levitate, and I'll be able to do all these sorts of things. And you say, oh, come on, that's a lot of nonsense. Well, I was talking to a group of people in Zurich, and I was telling them what it is all about when you walk on fire. And I asked them, I said, have any of you walked on fire? And a number of them raised their hands and said, yes. And I said, you're a liar. You're a liar. You did not walk on fire. You walked on cool wet moss, or one guy on orange peels, you know, whatever label they put it. But you did not, because mentally, if you said you walk on fire, you must be burned, because that is what the logical thing to do when you walk on fire is, to be burned. And so one guy, you know what he's telling me? I hadn't heard of it before, but I'm sure it's quite common. He said they took all these glass bottles and broke them up, and then they walked over the broken glass. Whoa. I mean, that's pretty cool. And he's the one who said they were covered with orange peels. But what was he doing? He was channeling the energy of his body to respond to the glass and to the fire from the point of view of it being something else than that. Now, if we have the capacity to talk to our mind, to talk to our body, and make it think something that is so totally strange to it, that we're walking on glass and we're really just walking on orange peels, you know. If we can make ourselves believe that, and not make ourselves believe it with some real tough experience, just spending a day with a person who's sharing that idea with you, and then you go and walk on you walk on those red hot coals that are not red hot, that what they are, cool wet moss, whatever name you want to give them. Our mind has the capacity to do such great and wonderful things that we haven't really channeled it to do. Now, if we're going to think that we have to channel our mind to do these things by using great mental strength and great mental, well, even hypnosis and so forth, what we are doing is we're taking away the opportunity to be the magnificent genius that we are. No. Do you have the opportunity to be the magnificent genius that you are? And of course, it's just a matter of, do you want to? Now, I say, do you want to walk on fire? And you say, well, not really. That's something that turns me on. I'm not anxious to do it. That's good. That's good. All right? Now, when you bend over and you pick up something off the floor, do you kneel down or do you, you know, sort of squat or do you just straight bend right over from the waist, right on down, and pick something up and stand up again, and you're not in vertigo. You're not in a dizziness. Can you do that? Now, Christy says, I do that all the time. You know, I do that all the time. And I walk along the meditation paths at the mountain, and I pick up a stone and throw it off the path, and pick this up and bend over and pick it up, you know, or a stick that might be falling on the path. That's okay. And as I do that, I feel just fine. I stand up and I feel just fine. No problem at all. And this is because my energy is in balance. And when our energy is in balance, we can accomplish anything. We can accomplish anything with our physical body, with our mental body, and with our spiritual body. And this truly is something that we're all interested in doing. You say, okay, that sounds interesting, but I don't know if it's true. I'll try it. And as you try it, then you will find that something is happening inside of you. Something is taking place. Now, as I do this with Ingeborg on campus, and I have her do this, every time she gets out of bed, every time she sits up, or every time she gets off a chair, she stands for a moment and does it with one leg and then the other leg for, you know, maybe one movement or to 10. It's not a matter of a great deal of exercise, but it's just a matter of balance. And as she does that, she's thinking, I'm balanced. At first, she holds on to a table or a chair to make sure that she stays up. And one of Ellen's grandchildren was visiting us, and we said to him, this is an exercise that we're working on. And so he stood there, 16 years old. He stood there, put his hands above his head, you know, sort of like a teepee, and put one leg on his knee, and he says, okay, when do I begin? Well, he said, now. So, he put his hands up like that, he took his knee and put it up a level with his stomach, and moved it back and forth, exactly as we had told him. And then, after 10 times, he put his foot down and lifted up the other foot, and no need to balance, no need to put himself in order. But, of course, he is a skier. He is a sportsman. He is an active person in doing these things, and so his balance is always coming into play. Now, if you'd like to see balance expressed in the most magnificent way, just watch the angel here. When Ibuve gets up from the couch and wants to jump around or do something, he always lands right. He doesn't fall on his head. He doesn't fall on his shoulder or his bottom. He always falls right. And the thing that he does, whenever he does fall in a way where he's not totally in control, he just totally relaxes. So his body just sort of rolls into the position that makes him comfortable. Now that's an art. That's really an art. Now you say, well, sure, a little kid can do that. But a big kid, you know, an adult, can we do that? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Now, can we do all of these things that kids do? Well, you don't want to do all those things kids do. You want to just have a limber, body, a balanced body, a body that's harmonious with all the energies in the world. Now, in the medical field, doctors work with people who are out of balance all the time. And the doctors say to them, okay, I believe that this medicine is going to help you. So take this medicine, and there are 40 pills here, and that's 40 days that I want you to take these pills. And do not cut short. Continue the pill even though you start feeling better and even though you think you don't need it anymore. Now, why is it that we have them continue taking the pills? We have them continue taking the pills because they're building up an immunity within their body to the condition that they have. And as they stop taking it, then if the immunity is not built up in a truly powerful, strong way, then the problem comes back again. But if they will take it for the length of time the pills are prescribed, presumed the doctor knows what he's talking about, if they do that, then they build up a strong immunity within them that lasts them for the rest of their life, truly, if they would do it right. Now, this is what we want to do. We want to get this energy flow within us doing what we want it to do, and we want it to be able to be there even when we're not doing the exercise, when we just think the exercise, when we practice this and we are going just fine with the exercise, we're going just fine with getting our balance and getting our bodies in order, then if we ever have a moment of imbalance in us, when we ever get angry at anybody or begin to feel that somebody is trying to hurt us or take from us, you know, and that's what starts most illnesses. Mm-hmm. Most illnesses start by tension and anxiety and being upset about things. And so if you can be in harmony with that, then those things don't have to happen. Then those things don't have to happen, that this tension builds up to a point where you can't control yourself and you can't be the master of yourself. Psychiatry is just full of this. Psychology is just full of this. And this is why the early philosophers and psychologists have always said, man, know yourself. They don't say, go out and study everybody else, but know yourself. And when you know yourself, then you start to put yourself in balance. Now, I go into hospitals quite often, and I talk to people who are patients, usually not my students, but my students recommend that I go talk to these people because they're their mother and father and friends, you know. And I go in there, and I remember Nurse Kruger of New York. She was the head nurse of the New York hospitals, and she was teaching her nurses how to lay on of hands, not healing by laying on of hands, but lay on of hands for energy. Lay on of hands, because doctors and nurses and hospitals are terrible for their coldness, their separateness. The doctors don't want to get close to the emotions of a patient, because then it's hard for you to be, you know,
to be objective.
Objective, that's the right word. Thank you. You've been here, done that. But you want to be objective about it. And when you're subjective about it, you're not, what a doctor doesn't want to do a brain operation on his own kid, because he cannot be objective about it. And he's, oh my God, if I do something wrong to my own kid, you know. And he's the best brain surgeon in the world, and his kid deserves the best, but he has his emotions that get in his way, and he cannot afford to do that. Well, when these things happen, the nurse Kruger taught all her nurses and all the nurses of New York in the various hospitals to go into the patient and not take a thermometer and shove it in wherever and be clinical right away, but rather go in and say, wow, you look good. You look wonderful. And, you know, they may be death warmed over, but the thing is, the nurse doesn't say that. The nurse says, you look wonderful. And the patient looks up at them and says, really? I thought you said I was dying, that, you know, I'm terminal, tomorrow's my last day. Well, I don't know, you're changing your attitude about yourself, and it looks like you're going to maybe live a day or two longer. Now, hey, you know, you're wonderful. And then go out, just leaving that thought with the patient, leaving that harmony with it. The doctor can't do that very well because the patient holds the doctor to what it says. The nurse can say it because she doesn't know anything about anything. She just goes in there and just goes on appearances and whatever the doctor says. So as the nurse does this day after day, the energy within the patient changes. And as that energy changes, the ability of the patient to respond to its medicine, to respond to the things that are going to heal her, heal them, and lift them up into a higher level of energy awareness, change. And beautiful things happen. Well, I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not a nurse. I'm a metaphysician, I'm a philosopher. And as I go in and talk to people, they don't expect me to think of them from the medical terms. They expect me to think of them from the metaphysical terms, which I do. And I go in and I say, man, you're looking great, you're looking fantastic, you're looking super. Oh, they lied to me. They said, you know, you're on your last legs. That's not true. You're looking great. And, you know, if they're going to die, they're going to die. That doesn't really make any difference. But the thing is, if they can die feeling that they're happy, you know, feeling that they're looking better, that's a wonderful thing for them. So as I say these things to them, they spark up and perk up, and sometimes they even make a drastic change. They don't all get out of bed and go home, but most of them do. Now, we are dealing with an invisible energy. We're dealing with an energy that we cannot really put our fingers on. We try to use medication, we try to use all these things to make this energy do what we want it to do. But the greatest tool, the greatest avenue for having the energy most productive is our mind. If we can, I'm going to live? Wow! You know, your whole body takes a new format, a new direction for itself. And this is what this lifting of your leg and moving it does for you. You get a feeling of balance. You get a feeling of all's in good order. And it's a nice thing. It's a very nice thing. And it's something that is being used all around the world just wonderfully. We're not really aware of what this energy does. But I read in the Popular Science magazine an article on the, I think it's spelled P-H-A-N-G-E or something like that, Fange. And it's been used since the 20s in Russia. It's marsh water, you know, filled with bacteria. Just really rotten water. And this water, they have researched it and worked on it. It can do marvelous things. And people come over to these European doctors and work with them, and they take this marsh water and they have a little vial of it, and they scrape off some of the tissue of a wound that doesn't want to heal. You know, it just will not heal. And they put it in there, they shake it up, and then after a few minutes they drip some of that on the wound that doesn't want to heal, and the wound heals within a matter of days completely, whereas it was not doing so before, and they would have been eaten up from the inside if they hadn't done something with it. They were patients who were, you know, on their last legs, and therefore they could try, you know, experimental things with them. And it is featured in the Popular Science magazine. It is not a very supportive article, but it's an informative article. It doesn't say it works, and it works for everybody, and it's this and it's that. It's the tongue-in-cheek article of the FDA, the Federal Drug Association, where it says you have to replicate this and prove this, and you have to prove this under this circumstance and that under that circumstance. Well, like they said of this clinic, they have practiced it for so many years, they have separated the certain types of bacteria which fit with other types of bacteria to help them balance these the chemical activities of the bacteria and the the antibiotics don't do it because they're just they just are no longer of use. It's really quite a strong and interesting article. If you want it, we'll have a copy here that you can make. And if you don't want it, that's good too. The big thing is that article to me merely said there are things going on in this world that we have so little understanding of. But we do have an understanding of how positive mental attitudes bring about positive results. And in the psychiatric hospitals that I visited, and especially the ones that I worked with when I was going to school, the things that were done there were really quite amazing, because it's the things that we did as students who were coming in from the seminary into the hospital. We were not medical people. We were just seminary people learning how to deal with people who have circumstances like that in our world. And we dealt with them from a little different point of view. We dealt with them from the caring point of view, from the social point of view. Unfortunately, hospitals and doctors and things of that nature these days are so overloaded and so stressed with the things that they're doing, they don't have time to be at peace with the patients and to touch them or to hold their hand or to give them a positive word. I know every time I would go in for an annual or something, I would say to the doctor, "I feel just wonderful. I feel fantastic. You know, it's I do." And you have this? Nope. You have that? Nope. You have this condition, you know, they go down the laundry list, and I say, no. And he says, "Well, the tests all show that you're good. Everything shows that you're fine. You're just fine. You're doing just great." You know, I know that. But you see, I know that. Now, if everyone could go in to their doctor knowing that they are good, knowing that they're fantastic, knowing that in their mind, they would bring these things to fore in their life. As I say, this energy that we have is something that we don't understand too well, but it's there. Now, do you understand the stem cells, the undifferentiated stem cells, these 10,000 that are born in our brain every day? Do you understand them? Who does, you know? But we don't. Science tells us they're there. Now, what does a stem cell do? The stem cell is like an army that's standing up there in your brain saying, "Okay, here I am, Dad. Mom, what do you want me to do? Tell me what you want me to do." And if you allow them to associate with your old cells, which are cells that say that you're tired or you're sick or you're old or you got problems, then those new cells will come in and back up the old cells on their old attitudes, their old ways, and continue with that, strengthen that, and you go from bad to worse. We have been working with people constantly on telling their stem cells how wonderful they are, singing to themselves, "I like me, I like me, I like me." We have had a number of people who were having difficulties with their families. Their families were having illnesses and they were having all sorts of problems, and they were saying, "What are we going to do? What can I do for my mom? What can I do for my sister? What can I do for my baby? What can I do to help them in this circumstance?" And I say, "This is what you can do. You can say, 'I like me.'" Well, what good is that for them? Because if you can say, "I like me," and build up inside of yourself that attitude of "I like me," that attitude will be transferred or will be demonstrated in that person that you love. And that attitude will be the healing balm for that person. That will be the thing that works for them. Because this is what it is. If I could only let people know the joyous experience that I've had recently in the energy field. I've been watching some videos called The Dog Whisperer. And The Dog Whisperer is a Mexican guy in America who loves animals and loves dogs. Well, he does something that everyone should learn to do. He learns to treat a dog like a dog. It's an animal. Not a baby, not a human. And most people treat the dogs like humans, yeah, and then wonder why they can't train them. Yeah. And it's not that it's the dog's fault, it's the people's fault, because the people don't give the dog an alpha concept. Now, what's an alpha concept? That's the leader of the pack. Now, if we don't give the dog in our family, the cat in our family, or the people in our family, taking it measures further, that we are the alpha, we are the leader, then they won't know. So, our children will not know what our rules are. Our children will not know what it is they're supposed to do unless you tell them. And you have to tell them definitely and sincerely that this is the way things go. Well, now, what Caesar does, he goes into the home where the dogs are being very, very mean, and they're biting at people, and they're running around. They're the boss, you know. It's their house. They're telling everybody, this is our house, you know. Because because the owners, the masters, they don't tell the dog that. They say, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? The dog jumps up on me. Isn't that cute? My wife and I are trying to have a sexual affair, and the dog comes between us. Isn't that cute? Well, no, that's not cute, you know. The dog has a place, and the dog should be in its place. But you have to recognize that the dog does not have the same feelings that you do. So, what Caesar does, he makes a sweep with his arms, his chest is up, his chin up, and he says, I am the master here. This is my house. He's not even in his own house. He's in somebody else's house. I am the master here. And then he says to the dog, back up. And the dog's growling, ready to chew his leg off you. He says, back up. He says, now, he doesn't say back up. He moves his hand back up. He doesn't say anything. No sound, no word to him. He merely transmits energy. He merely transmits a concept to the dog. And pretty soon, the dog sits down. And then one dog never would let anyone touch the bone while they were chewing on it. You know how dogs get possessive like that sometimes. So he walked over to the dog, and he steps on the bone, and then he ushers the dog away from the bone, and then he said, he reaches down and he takes the bone in his hand. He said, my bone, you know, my bone. And the dog looks at him and said, what is this? This is crazy. No one's ever done that to me before. But within a matter of minutes, because he transmits his energy to that dog, to those dogs that he deals with, those dogs are instantly submissive and obedient to his request. Now, this sounds like a big jump, but everyone in our world, including ourselves and our own body, is submissive to us when we are feeling alpha, when we feel that we are in charge. If, as doctors and as nurses and as medical people, if people come into your awareness where you have to deal with them either in the hospital or in their office or whatever, and you say, what can I do for you? And you're all, you know, milquetoasty about it and unsure of yourself, they'll say, whoops, I made a mistake here. I don't want to go to a doctor that's not sure of himself, you know. And so they don't. They go away. They don't come back. But when you approach them and you say, well, what can we do for you today? And they say, well, I've got this, that, and the other thing. Very good. Now, you can go home and drink lots of water and get a lot of sleep and be done with it in a week or so. Or we can give you a pill to knock it out of you. Whichever way you want to do it, it's okay. Oh, well, I hate pills. I hate pills. Well, then go home and drink lots of water and get in bed and take a rest and just forget the world. Forget all the problems of the world. Don't turn the television on. That's terrible. You're bringing the devil into your own bedroom because those are attitudes that are making you feel insecure and uptight. And you're worried about the rest of the world and how the world is run. Just leave everything. Don't even turn music on. Just go and lay in bed and relax. And if anybody is there to help you, to bring any food to you or anything like that, say, fine, just leave it there. You know, like an artist, he says, I don't want to talk to anybody while I'm in the middle of my art, while I'm in the middle of my creation. And when you're in your middle of your returning to your health, you don't want to talk to anybody. You want to just listen within your own inner self. As a doctor can teach that to the patient, or as a psychologist, psychiatrist can teach that to the patient, magic happens to them. But they cannot do that when they don't believe it themselves. So this is why it's so important for doctors to practice these things, nurses to practice these things, practitioners to practice these things with themselves. Because then, as you work with your patients, as you work with people in your world, they have confidence in you. Not because you say, I've done it and it works, but because you speak with confidence about whatever it is you want them to do. And it's a beautiful thing. But what you're doing is what Caesar was doing. He was letting these dogs know his energy. And one of the big things that he taught to everybody, and I think it can be used in many areas of our life, he taught every family, okay, let's go for a walk with the dog. So they put the dog on the leash, and they went to the door, and the dog was so happy, we're going for a walk, oh, jump, 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 jump. And he says, no, sit, sit. First, he had the dog mellow out, not be so hyper, relaxed, relaxed, relaxed. The dog want to run ahead of him? No, no, sit, relax, relax. And then he stepped out the door first, had the dog behind his knee, or, you know, behind him, and he said, no. And then if the dog had his head out this way, look, oh, I got to protect you from the world, I got to see if there's anything out there. And he'd pull on the leash on their neck, and he'd say, no, you're walking with me. And the dog said, oh, I don't have anything to do, just to walk with my master. Oh, wonderful. That's all I have to do, walk with my master and be at peace. And he walked with the dog, and the dog didn't pull him. The dog didn't do anything. He had mental, emotional, and energy control of that dog. But first he had it of himself. This is something that we can do for ourselves. When you walk over a bed of hot coals, and you call it cool at Moss, you have to have control of your mental attitude about yourself. It can be done. We know it can be done. We've seen people do it, and we say, how crazy, how stupid, you know, who wants to do that? Well, it's not a matter of who wants to do it. It's a matter that if it can be done, it becomes a rule. Any exception to the rule breaks the rule. And so anyone can walk on fire if they think they're walking on cool wet moss. Nobody can walk on fire if they call it fire. Because if you call your illness an illness, then you make yourself obedient to the illness. If you call your condition, I'm going to get my balance back, get myself back in order. And then you do the simple things that bring harmony back into your body, balance back into your body, getting your energy so it harmonizes and moves. You've all heard of Chernobyl, and you've heard how dastardly the thing was when the atomic energy plant blew up in Russia, and how it sent its spew over the whole world. I mean, that's really tremendous. Now, we are keeping building those plants. We're building those plants, even though if two or three of those plants would explode like Chernobyl did, it would be a terrible thing for the whole world. A whole world. And we keep doing it because we believe we can be in control of that energy. Well, many people feel we should take something that's better, like the sun or waves of the ocean and other things, as an energy source, and we can control it more readily. But if we begin to control within ourselves the idea of our own personal energy, if we begin to realize that we can tell ourselves and be relaxed. If we can tell ourselves, all is in divine order, and let go. The tension leaves us. The tension, which is the killer, the number one killer in the world, it leaves us. And if we can control the number one killer by the simple thing of relaxing and being at peace within ourselves, man, what a fantastic thing we're doing. But do we do that? No. And we don't do it because of one simple thing. It's not exciting. It's not exciting to balance your own energies and to balance your own tension. When your kids get uptight, you want to take your belt and beat the living daylights out. Now you behave. Now you behave. Now, a parent who really loves their child is going to say, hey, precious, what's disturbing you? And take some time with them. Say, what can I do for you? What's the matter? You got something troubling. I hate you. I hate you. You know, they kick you and they do all these silly things. And you got to really know yourself when you go through that to be untouched.
No kid am I ever served up.
No, no, you don't. That's not the point. Now look, Pumpkinhead, you got something that's bothering you. Now, as soon as you can tell me what it is, or somehow, go tell your dad or your mom, or go tell somebody else. But as soon as you can face it, then it becomes nothing. Then the boogeyman goes away. When the child runs in the door, and a million kids are chasing me. And you go out and open the door, and there's two kids chasing him, you know. And the boogeyman becomes more tolerable, something you can work with. Well, as we learn to do this with ourselves, as we learn to relax, this is the Hindu teaching is a great deal on the relaxation aspect, where they teach you to be in a samadhi position and relaxed and in a totally peaceful awareness of yourself. But mostly, the people who get in that position don't realize what the Buddha really did. What he did when he went into his bliss situation. When the Buddha went into his bliss situation, he'd been raised by his daddy and told that there is no death, there is no evil, there is no unhappiness, there is no illness, and all those things. And he believed it because he didn't see it. And then when he saw it, he was confused. So he went out in the world trying to understand it. And then he flagellated his body, and he fasted and starved himself, and he went with his buddies and did all of the low-level things on a spiritual ladder. And then he went under the boa tree, and he sat there, and he meditated, and he said, "Hey, am I doing this all wrong? What's the right way to go? What should I do?" And the divine in him says, "Relax." And then the divine in him says, "Be yourself and have fun. You are here on planet Earth to have a wonderful body, to have a wonderful mind, to have a wonderful life, and to be yourself and have fun." And so when he came from his blissful situation and he met his buddies, he said, "Hey guys, come on, let's party." And he said, "What's this here? You want to party? We know we're supposed to be spiritual monks, mendicant monks." And he said, No. "I did my meditation, and in my meditation I realized that we're to be ourselves and have fun." And this is what he taught. This is what he taught. He never wrote anything, but this is what he taught. And he said, "Okay, you guys want to learn how to meditate? Take this flower and look at it and study it and look at how beautiful it is and how peaceful it is." You see, we have had such a misconception of all the knowledge that we get from so many different sources, and we think that that's the way that we have to go, or that we should go, to be our divine self. And that is so far from the truth. Because if we can relax, if we can be at peace, if we can let go of the problems of the world, and if we can have the right values to do it on, then we are truly walking in the path of our highest and our greatest. Then we are truly being whatever it is that we want to be. And it's a matter of, what do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What sort of things are important in your life for yourself? What sort of things are things that are going to make a difference in your world? Now you buzzard, you're retired and you're relaxed and you're out of the run of the mill. But you're not. You're not. You are now contributing more to what you say the rat race. You're contributing more to the life cycle than anyone who is, so to speak, actively in it. Because now you've been there. You saw what worked and what didn't work. And you realize that everything that you did was only like Hippocrates said. You keep them alive long enough so that the nature of the body heals itself. And that's not what you want to do. You want to give the medicine that is the most powerful medicine in the world, the medicine of people liking themselves, believing in themselves, and putting those causes in motion so that they can be as healthy and happy and hearty as they can be. And Ugo is working into his world of dealing with people on a regular basis and having these people come to him, "Oh, life's terrible, this is bad, you know, everything's going wrong, and all the people in my world are bad." And as you know, people who are mentally unbalanced definitely are not at fault. that they say. It is other people. Other people are all wrong, and I am right. Well, now, this is about the healthiest attitude anyone can ever have. You are right, okay? If you're right, then why are you not enjoying what right brings? Because you want to take another look at it. Now, am I right in being unhappy? No. Am I right in being angry? No. Am I right in feeling sorry for myself? No. Those are things that we don't have a right for. Do you have a right to be happy? Yes. Do you have a right to have a healthy body? Yes. Do you have a right to live in a harmonious family and world? Yes. Okay. What do you do for them? Well, you know that you can take the fire that is put into the pit that some people walk over, and you can take that fire and you can tame it by your mind by saying it's cool, wet moss, or you can tame it and put it in your fireplace or in your stove and heat your house. You can use it to cook with. You can use it for many positive things, or you can burn yourself with it. It all depends on which direction you want to go. And if we can teach ourselves to go the direction of all in divine order, of all in peace, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. When we can go in the direction, I like me. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect right now. If we can go in that order and say those things to us, then the magic of who we really are floods forth and comes out in our life and in our affairs. Now, we call this positive thinking, but if I hit you in the cheek with my fist, that's positive too. You know, everything is positive. There's nothing that's negative. Is it beneficial? Is it something that is going to make us happy and fulfilled? Then that's what we want to follow. And the only way that we can follow it is if we guide ourselves into it and show ourselves along the pathway to accomplish it. And now, all of us have had lots of opportunities to think about this. We've had lots of experiences to be aware of it. And as we are being aware of it, thinking about these things, are we willing and ready to put it into motion for ourselves as something that we really want to happen in our life? And the answer basically is no. And the reason that it's no is because we've had the habit of doing it the other way for so long, it's so natural to do it that to make a change seems unnatural. If you tell a child, stop being so naughty, stop being so naughty, stop being so naughty, the child won't know how to be nice because he'll only know how to stop being naughty. But if you tell the child, you're fantastic, I'm so proud of you, you have such good taste, you make me so happy, you come in here and you just are a light that brightens up the room with your smile and with your happiness, and it's nice to see you go and pull the chair out of the table for your mommy, you know. It's nice to see you run to the kitchen when she says she forgot her napkin. It's nice to see you doing these little things. Positive, 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 and positive on every issue, even though they hadn't intended to go to the kitchen and get the napkin for their mother. You just say, oh, you're so nice to run to the kitchen and get a napkin for your mother. You've heard people say that. And you think, he's not going to the kitchen to get the napkin. What are you talking about? It's so nice of him to do. Psychology, you know? Pretty soon, the kid may not do it first off, but as you keep saying that, he does. I was with a family, and their son is a nice kid. He's, 16 years old, and really a fantastic boy. I've known him many years. And his mother was sitting at the table, and she reached down for her napkin, and it wasn't there. And he was aware of it. And he instantly, nicely, quietly got up, got the napkin for her, put it by her plate, didn't say a thing, and sat down, and went on talking to his girlfriend who was sitting at the table with us. Now, that is not obedience. That is living in a harmonious world where you like yourself, where you like everything you're doing. Now, his dad is a crazy guy. His dad was a banker. For years, he was a banker, very successful. And then he retired. So now, what does the father do? The father takes every moment he can and goes to sporting events. He travels all over Europe to sporting events because it's fun for him. And his wife said, that's boring being at home alone. So she went out and got herself a job. Now she's demonstrating cookware and vacuum cleaners for stores and stuff, talking to people, not selling, just demonstrating, telling them how wonderful it is, and she's talented at this, and she is happy as a lark, whereas before she'd never done that. But now, because he went his way on his thing, they don't dislike each other. They have a very fine marriage and a very fine relationship with each other, but each has their own areas that interest them, and they go that way. It's a beautiful thing. Yes. Are those for me? Thank you. These things in life that can make us happy are the simplest things in the world. They're the things that take our energy and direct it. As we train ourselves to direct our energy in the most positive way, the most beautiful things happen. The Chinese and Japanese have an exercise I shouldn't really talk about because I don't have the name in my mind right now, but this exercise is one where you use energy within yourself, and you reach out for something and you don't reach it, but you just stretch your muscles and apply yourself. And these people who exercise in this way, these are training exercises they give to their employees in many industries over in Japan and China. And so the employees are all standing out on the parade ground like militaristic people, and doing these silly things, stretching and stretching. And they go back in and they're fantastic. They're fantastic. It really is a health-giving energy to them, a health-giving exercise, because they're releasing the pent-up energies within them. They're releasing all of these things. We drove through London coming from...
Graves
to here, and as we did, every 10 blocks or so was a giant fence that was around an area, and in this area were four or five soccer
fields,
and these soccer fields were all over the place. And I thought to myself, this is why these London boys and girls, whoever play there, utilize their energy. They're dashing back and forth across. And that's a lot of running around. And when they get done, they're tired. They're relaxed. And basically, their energy is directed in a positive, meaningful way for them, and great and wonderful things happen to them. We have this stuff available to us, and it can bring us into some fantastic experiences. And as I say here, energy, the power of the universe. And how do we use that power of the universe? We use it by constructively, positively, intelligently directing it to where we'd like it to go. And it's a simple, beautiful, easy thing to do. I know when I was in Moscow, the children would come up to me and they would say, give me your watch, and I'll give you my shirt or something like that. Of course, their shirt was rather poorly built. And they all were saying, in America, everybody's got a chicken in every pot, and they got a car. Everybody's got a car, and everybody's got this and that and the other thing. And that's nice to have people think positive about you and your country. It's nice to have people think that you're the greatest and you're wonderful. And so I didn't tell them that they were wrong. We not only have a chicken, we have two chickens in every pot. And we not only have a car, we have two or three cars in every garage, And that's why I had to build a four-car garage on our property. But we have six houses, and we have all the garages filled with cars and various other things that they have, because we use them for whatever purpose we do, for our retreats and our seminars and our activities on campus. Now, live in mental abundance, live in spiritual abundance, live in physical abundance, all in your mind, and you will experience it outwardly. Live in health in your mind, and you will experience it outwardly. And as you do that, it works. Now, Christy was saying that she has her office and her new arrangement there in her office, and she thought that she should do this and that. And I said, Christy, I would like you to have a new image of yourself. Christy, I would like you to have the image that you're the head nurse there. She said, I am. I would like to have you have the image that as the head nurse, they respect you as head nurse. Well, they do. I would like you to have the image that you have your own office, which is the biggest office there, bigger than the doctor's offices, you know, and that everyone comes in to consult with you. And your nurses, they come in and you tell them what to do, and you do it from your office. And then you go out and do your tour and you do all these things, but you work out of your office. Your office is your throne room. It is where you show you are the dignified one. Why does a doctor have a big desk and a big office? He doesn't need it, because most of the work the doctor does is done by the staff. And why does he do that? It's for show. It's to show I am a big man. I am a responsible man. I am a man who has these things. You go into a doctor's office and there's just a little card table in there, and what's going to happen? People are going to say, well, I guess he is not worth very much. I guess he's not a very competent person because he doesn't have a high opinion of himself. Now, I have seen a number of doctors lately who come to their office in tennis shoes, and red and white and green tennis shoes, colored tennis shoes, you know, how outrageous. But yet they walk with such dignity, they walk with such a feeling of confidence in themselves that it doesn't matter what they wear. It makes no difference what they wear. But they could wear the finest suit, and if they didn't believe in themselves, the fact of not believing in themselves would be an energy that escapes. Now, I talk about Ugo to all of our friends, and I tell them how he has now been chosen to work in a clinic, and he works in this clinic, and he's second man in the clinic. He's the second highest doctor in the clinic. Now, the fact that there are two doctors there doesn't make any difference, right, Ugo? What?
No difference.
No! Now, who is the best doctor in that clinic, Ugo? I know you don't want to say it. You. Why are you the best doctor in that clinic? Because you feel you can do whatever work is given to you. You feel that you mentally are tuned in to do whatever needs to be done. And you see, this is what makes us successful. This is what makes us happy. This is what makes us competent in whatever we're doing. We believe in ourselves. And when we believe in ourselves, we can go out and accomplish anything. And that's why Ugo has only begun. It won't be long before they put him in charge of some major psychiatric hospital where he teaches them the principles that we're sharing today. And they will say, wow, you are the avant-garde, you are the new thought, the new thinking, the new system for us to look at life and look at all the things that are valuable and important in our world. And this is true. This is true. Because only when we are in charge, only when we realize who and what we are, do we rise to the levels that we want to be. Now, Ugo is going to have many children in his life. And every child he has is whole and perfect. Ugo is going to take tension, anxiety, worry for anything, including his children, his wife, or his world, or his business, and you too. I'll throw you in there too. And you're going to live your life from this day forward with that attitude. And whatever has happened before is okay. Your child, Ugo, chose to come to your family for the short period that he did, she did, to accomplish what needed to be done, and then moved on. And what a blessing it was for you to have the child there for however long it is there. Now, I think you might put into motion, say, okay, we've had our quickie, now we want the long-standing ones. The children who are going to outlive all of us by hundreds of years. And as time is going on, they will and they are. But this is the beauty of what we are doing. This is the beauty of what you're doing too. When your life wife was with you, she was one of the major factors of your life, a happy person with you. You felt good and everything was going great. Now, she moved on. And now she leaves you to move on to in a new area, your avant-garde, to whatever direction you're going to, that is going to be exciting and dramatic. You're not ending your life just because you're 20 years old. This is the beginning of a new adventure, of a new dimension, of a new direction for you in life, and you're going to walk that direction and be so excited. All you have to do, Buster, all you have to do is look at that face of your daughter, and look at her kid. You saw that, didn't you? What did you think?
Just radiant.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
Radiant.
Wonderful reflection of you. Now, what sort of gift are you going to be giving to this child and to your daughter? What sort of gift are we going to be giving to everyone in our world? What sort of gift is Ugo going to give to his wife? Is he going to give her diamond and rings and things like that? No. He is going to give her the greatest gift that any person could ever give to another. Unconditional love. Unconditional love that says, you know, sweetheart, you're the greatest. You know, sweetheart, you always do everything right. You know, sweetheart, don't worry about burning the food. That could happen to anybody. I shouldn't stand there kissing you so long while you're cooking. I should let you be free at the stove so you can cook properly. But that's okay. Just leave it. We'll go out for dinner, you know. And turn your world into a love world. Turn your world into a world where everything you do is love. Everything you do is unconditional loving. And it is so fantastic because you've got everything going for you, all you guys, all of you. Christy, she's got everything going for her, but she forgets it. She sometimes gets so busy doing for others and wrapping up things and tying up loose ends, she forgets to begin to smell the roses herself. And when she starts smelling the roses, we may lose her. She may just go and smell the roses all the time and find the good in life, the love in life, the peace in life, the joy, because this is who you are. You know that. You know that every time she'd come to campus, she'd climb the mountains and she'd walk around there, and she'd come back with a big smile on her face, looking like she'd just had the Buddha's bliss. And I quite think she did. Because those are things that happen to us when we let go of all the tensions, anxieties, and all the concerns for everyday life, and just flow with it in its beautiful, fantastic manner. It's really an amazing thing to do. So that gives us a good start. And we will take a pause so you can all relax for a moment before we move into our next adventure. And thank you very much.